Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. We're talking today about a fascinating question, and it's one that is no longer hypothetical. We now have enough of a conception of the 2008 presidential race, especially on the Republican side, the race for the nomination, to know that this question is going to be asked, and one way or another, it's going to be answered. Will American Christians, evangelical Christians in particular, vote for a Mormon presidential candidate? That candidate is Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney. He's running. He's raising funds. Romney 08 is well on its way to becoming a major campaign on the Republican side. And this question is coming to me from people in the press. It's coming from emails sent into this program. It's time to talk about it. I'm going to have two fantastic guests coming up in just a moment to talk about this. Russ Moore, you know well, keen observer of politics, former congressional staffer, and now head of the Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. And Dr. Phil Roberts, who is an expert on Mormonism, as a matter of fact, and is president of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Kansas City, Missouri. But there's still time for you to call right on the front end to get in on this question. We're going to ask two questions. And I want you to understand the difference between these two questions. Question number one, will American evangelicals vote for a Mormon candidate? Secondly, should American evangelicals vote for a Mormon candidate? Two very different questions. I have a feeling there's some people who would answer those questions differently. One is by observation and hunch. Do you think American evangelicals will vote for a Mormon candidate who otherwise is very much with them on the major policy positions and all the rest? But the second question is, as Christians, should we vote for a Mormon candidate? Fascinating questions. I hope you'll join the discussion. The number 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. First, a review of some of the issues in the news. Yesterday, we talked about Pope Benedict XVI and the controversy over his statements concerning Islam. This is a controversy that shows no sign of abating. As a matter of fact, Iranian President Ahmadinejad, who is speaking tonight at the United Nations, is calling for more protests against the Pope. And there is spreading protest across the Islamic world. According to the Associated Press, Al-Qaeda in Iraq has warned Pope Benedict XVI that its war against Christianity in the West will go on until Islam takes over the world. And again, Iran's supreme leader called for more protests over the pontiff's remarks on Islam. Islamic leaders around the world issued more condemnations of the Pope's comments. It looks like there are some who are trying to put a little damper on this because, quite frankly, the protests are making the point the Pope made. The Pope was, of course, quoting a Byzantine emperor who made a statement about Islam and violence. And, of course, that led to controversy. I wrote about it at my website at Albert Mohler, MOHLER.com, a major article published overnight entitled The Pope, the Prophet, and the Crisis of Truth. I try to deal with all the issues related to this, but I zero in on how we as Christians should respond. Here's my suggestion. Let me go at it again. We should respond with evangelism, not with holy war. Paul makes very clear in Ephesians chapter 6 that this is a spiritual battle. That's why Christianity has no navy. We have no air force. We have no army. We have the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thus, even as the Islamic world is blowing up with protests, we can't do that. I was on Hugh Hewitt's show last night. Always glad to be my friend Hugh. And one of the points I made there, again, is that Islam is an honor religion. Whereas Christianity is not. We follow a Savior who was despised and rejected of men. We follow a Savior who was crucified. We follow a Savior who was scourged, who was whipped, who was humiliated with a crown of thorns. We follow a Savior who does not call for us to defend his honor, but rather to preach his gospel. Meanwhile, on the Islamic side, what you have is a situation in which a major part of the Islamic religion is defending the honor of the Quran and the Prophet. And this explains what happens on the Muslim street and why it's very different than what happens when something like this happens among Christians. And it's another reminder to us of the spiritual issues at stake. Our response is to preach and teach the gospel. Our response when Jesus is despised is to pray for those who hold him despicable. And we pray not for their elimination, not even for their silencing, but for their salvation. That's a completely different logic. Other issues in the news, Sam Harris is out with his new book. It's entitled Letter to a Christian Nation. This is the man who wrote The End of Faith. We talked about it on the program. I wrote about it at length about a year ago. It's an audacious book, and the audacity of it is that Sam Harris comes out and he's not calling for Christians to have less influence. He's calling for there to be no more Christianity. He is saying that any form of religious faith, whatever it is, Christianity in particular, is dangerous because it holds to a superstition that is deadly. Now, why I find Mr. Harris fascinating is not because he is the latest to get in line to attack Christianity. What I find most interesting and useful about Sam Harris is that he sees religious liberals as just as dangerous as religious conservatives. As a matter of fact, he comes along and says, look, what point is there in calling yourself a religious liberal? You either believe this stuff or not. If you do believe it, then you're just like the rest of them. If you don't believe it, then you're simply making possible, you're legitimizing, you're enabling these religious fanatics. So Sam Harris is very interesting. By the way, an interview that he did with The Sun, which is kind of a New Age magazine, and he scared them to death, by the way, as you see from the interview. He's asked this question. So should we express our intolerance of religious believers by not allowing them into positions of power? This has something to do, indeed, with our conversation about Mitt Romney, but it could also be a conversation about George W. Bush. Listen to what he says. Well, yes, the belief that Jesus is going to come down out of the clouds like a superhero sometime in the next 50 years and save us, which 44% of the American population apparently believes, is every bit as specious as the belief that Elvis is still alive. A radical change in our discourse is called for. The problem is there are so many people who subscribe to the Christian belief that it's difficult to act reasonably in response to it. Ultimately, being a Christian should be like believing in Zeus. But right now there's a relevant difference between believing in the divinity of Jesus and believing in Zeus, because the first belief has so many adherents and because there is such cultural support for the idea. He goes on to say, the real liability of religion is that it allows perfectly sane people to believe en masse what only a lunatic would believe on his or her own. Now, we should be actually thankful for what he had to say there. We should be thankful that he has been bold enough to articulate this broadside attack upon Christianity and to say that it's time to stop being tolerant. It's time to stop allowing Christians to be Christians. It's time to stop allowing them to run for office. It's time to stop allowing them to vote. It's time to stop allowing them in positions of influence. And then he has the audacity to come back and say, even though a majority of the American people claim to be that. So there you face the fact that the only way Sam Harris's agenda is ever going to happen is by coercion, is by force. And he must know that. That's why we have, again, the reminder that when you hear people call for a radical ideal of tolerance, it almost always means intolerance. And in this case, Sam Harris is simply honest enough to say that intolerance is to be directed towards the Christian faith. We'll be looking at his book, Letter to a Christian Nation. It's going to be all over the news. Let me just warn you. You just brace yourself, buckle your seatbelts. You can just get ready for this to be on the talk shows and all the rest, because he knows how to market his ideas. And because in post-Christian secular America, the left isn't sure what to do with this. That's the most amazing thing. The left isn't sure what to do with this because they have embraced this ideal of tolerance, tolerance, tolerance. And yet Sam Harris makes them come to face the fact that there's some things they don't want to tolerate. There are all kinds of things going on in the news. As a matter of fact, one of them is a report out in terms of politics. The Washington Post is reporting this. Listen to this. Given the enormous proliferation of policy questions today, surfing the emotional wave nowadays may be more important than it was in 1935. That's looking back to research that was done then. And what was discovered in 1935 was this. Columbia University went to Allentown, Pennsylvania, and discovered that candidates vote by emotion as much as anything else. As a matter of fact, they suggested that a candidate is likely to win who is liked by more people and disliked by fewer. The Washington Post comes back at this and says the research is of importance to politicians for obvious reasons and partly explains the enduring attraction of negative advertising. But it is also important to voters because it suggests that the reason candidates seem appealing often has little to do with their ideas. Listen to this. Political campaigns are won and lost at a more emotional and subtle level. Why do we talk about this? It's because this is the place for intelligent Christian conversation. This is the place where we gather together to remember that ideas really do matter. As Richard Weaver said famously, ideas have consequences. We're the people who are supposed to be careful not to vote by intuition or by gut, not to be moved on major policy decisions or any kind of personal decisions just on the basis of some kind of emotional response, but rather to think. God made us as thinking creatures. And Christians have a particular responsibility to think. This is a time when Christians have no excuse whatsoever for lazy, non-reflective, non-thinking, just life in the community, life in the church, and life in the world. It's because we have to think. We are being bombarded by a worldview of ideas and ideologies. We are swimming in a sea of competing belief systems. All around us is a massive confusion, and Christians bear the responsibility to think in a way that is distinctively Christian. That's the big issue. How do we think in a way that is distinctively Christian? We have to apply that to every decision of life. And with a general election coming up, the off-year election coming up in just a matter of days, and with the 2008 presidential campaign heating up, now's the time to ask the question. Would American evangelicals vote for a Mormon candidate? Should they? Give us a call, 893-877-893-8255. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. Will American evangelicals vote for a Mormon candidate for president? Should American evangelicals vote for a Mormon candidate for president? Two interrelated but somewhat distinct questions, both of them on the line today. Give us a call, 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. The Massachusetts governor is a Republican. That's odd enough when you talk about the People's Republic of Massachusetts, just generally given to more left-wing liberal Democratic politicians as governor. After all, it's only been a couple of governors back that you were looking at Michael Dukakis as the governor of the state of Massachusetts. But Mitt Romney won, enormous personal charisma, enormous personal appeal, with a reputation for competence. This was a man who headed the Salt Lake City Olympics. He is well known as a businessman, as a politician. He also has a reputation as a family man in terms of his marriage and his family and all the rest. And a part of that is because he is associated with a religious group in America that holds very strong family values, famously so, and that is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, as it prefers to call itself, the Mormon Church and Mormonism as it is more commonly known. This leads to a fascinating question, because Mitt Romney is running for president. He's running for the Republican nomination, and he has all kinds of things going for him, just politically speaking. He is governor of a populist state. He, as a Republican, has proven that he can win among moderates. He has proved that he can win in the Northeast, where Republicans famously do poorly. This is a man who has what some would describe as red state values, and he's been moving our way, by the way. As he has been Massachusetts governor, he's become more and more conservative, but he has been elected governor in a blue state. He has nationwide appeal and a famous political name. He comes from a distinguished political pedigree in terms of having a father who was the governor of Michigan. But he also has a liability, politically speaking. He is a Mormon. Should this matter or should it not? Michael Novak, writing in his own political column, has suggested that it should not. Let me just read to you what Novak had to say. Any conversation among Republicans about Romney invariably touches on the concerns of whether his Mormon faith disqualifies him for the presidency. Now listen to what Novak says. The U.S. Constitution prohibits a religious test for public office, but that is precisely what is being posed now. Prominent, respectable evangelical Christians have told me, not for quotation, that millions of their own co-religionists cannot and will not vote for Romney for president solely because he is a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. If Romney is nominated and their abstention results in the election of Hillary Rodham Clinton, that's just too bad. The evangelicals are adamant, saying there is no way Romney can win them over. Romney is well aware that an unconstitutional religious test is being applied to him, but he may be seriously minimizing the problem's scope as limited to relatively few fanatics. He feels the vast majority of conservative voters worried about his faith will flinch at the prospect of another Clinton in the White House. But such a rational approach is not likely to head off a highly emotional collision of religious faith and religious bias with American politics. End quote. Fascinating how a lot of these things come together. Washington Post today suggesting that more people vote on emotion than on intellectual choice. And then you have Robert Novak saying that you have here a very deep emotional collision at play. I'm not really concerned about the emotion. I want to talk about the theology. I want to talk about the exercise of Christian discipleship. Should an evangelical Christian vote for a Mormon candidate? My guest today in the studio, Dr. Russell Moore, who's Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, my much-appreciated guest host for this program, and also head of the Carl F. H. Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement, himself with a background in electoral politics. We also want to welcome Dr. Philip Roberts, who is an expert on Mormonism and formerly headed the Southern Baptist Convention's office dealing with this through our North American Mission Board. He is now president of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Gentlemen, welcome.
Good to be with you.
Thank you, Hal. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right, so I'm going to throw it right at you. Russell Moore, will American evangelicals vote for a Mormon candidate?
Well, I think the way that Bob Novak framed it, if the choice is between a Mormon candidate, Mitt Romney, and Hillary Clinton, then I think the answer is yes. I think what is yet to be known is what's going to happen in the primaries. Will evangelicals vote for a Mormon candidate? And I just don't think we know yet, because we don't know how the media will take on this weird idea of a Mormon candidate. I mean, is Mitt Romney going to have to be answering questions about special LDS underwear and celestial reproduction and all of these questions over and over again? I just don't think we know at this point.
Yeah, well, and I'm not even going to ask you at this point in the program the should question. Right now it's the will question, because I think we want to talk at that level first. Phil Roberts, will American evangelicals vote for a Mormon candidate?
I don't think totally, nor in large part enthusiastically. I think there's enough question that hangs over their head. And, of course, we have a test case, Al, of 2000 when Orrin Hatch ran, and the answer came back then, not very many.
But was that really an issue of his Mormonism? I don't think Orrin Hatch had much political traction in that primary season. I think Mitt Romney comes in as governor of a populous northeastern state with an awful lot of momentum.
And I think part of the answer there is that, too, if Romney finesses this in the right way, realizing that many evangelicals, probably 70%, don't have an accurate understanding of Mormonism, either historically or doctrinally, he could probably finesse it.
He's going to try. Let's listen to him try. This is Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney speaking to Chris Wallace on Fox News Sunday.
Do you believe in the Book of Mormons, and do you follow the tenets of Smith's religion?
Yeah, I'm never going to get into a discussion about my personal beliefs and about particular doctrines of my church and so forth. I'm very proud of my church. It was the church of my father and his father before him. But what I can say is this, and I go back to a speech that Abraham Lincoln made when he was 28 years old, the Lyceum Address, when he said that America has a political religion, and the people who were elected to office subscribe to this political religion, which is to place the oath of office, an oath to abide by a nation of laws and the Constitution, above all others. And there's no question that as I take the oath of office as governor and have, that I make that my primary responsibility.
A rather amazing statement. Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney saying that Americans hold to a political religion, and that political religion evidently trumps all other commitments when it comes to voting decisions. Now, he is not obviously wrong. He is not obviously wrong. In other words, we need to ask the question, as you look at the American electorate, as you look at American citizens, as you look at American Christians, do they vote on the basis of a political religion or on the basis of some deep Christian commitment and Christian discernment on these political issues? We've got callers coming in from all over the country. I want to hear from you. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Number one, will American evangelicals vote for a Mormon candidate? Number two, should they? How should we as Christians think about this? 877-893-8255 is the number. Russ Moore, you have been in Washington. You are a congressional staffer. You understand the electoral process. You know that an awful lot of this has to do with opportunity and person. A lot of this has to do with charisma. Mitt Romney's very charismatic.
He has that.
A lot of it has to do with whether this person makes the right impression with the voters. How's he going to do on that?
I think that Mitt Romney is going to be very appealing to the voters, especially depending upon who the other candidates are. Frankly, I think a lot of evangelicals are going to be asking, is Mitt Romney Mormon enough when it comes to some of the life
issues?
Okay,
now that's where I want us to go. That's exactly where I want us to go. In other words, a lot of evangelicals are going to be saying, where is he on these policy decisions? And where is he in his personal life?
Especially since Mitt Romney was pro-choice in 2002. Said he would uphold Roe versus Wade. Has that changed? That remains to be seen.
Well, he's sending strong signals that it has. But one of the interesting things that will happen in a political campaign is that the strong signals are going to have to be translated into specific statements. Now, as we go into the break, the phone number again, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. I want to throw something at you. I'm going to suggest to you that American evangelicals will sometimes vote in the midst of a crisis. If they perceive this to be a crisis campaign, then that crisis could be something like the election of Hillary Rodham Clinton. They might do what otherwise they would not do. Here's another suggestion. I think if you are a serious Mormon, you've got to be very concerned about a Mormon candidate running for president, because there's going to be more scrutiny of Mormonism than that religious movement in America has ever experienced. More on that when we come back. The phone number 877-893-8255. I'm Albert Mohler.
Listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
I knew you would want to talk about this, and boy do you. The phone number is 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We've got to cool down the phone lines for a minute here. We're going to go to Lawrence, calling from Louisville, Kentucky on WFIA. Go ahead, Lawrence.
No, we should not vote for a Mormon for president of the United States. Mormon is not Christianity. Mormon is a cult, and that's supporting occultism if we vote that way.
Okay, now, Lawrence, I agree with you about Mormonism. And let me just say this. It is a cultic misrepresentation of Christian gospel, the gospel. It is a corruption.
Yes.
Of some Christian, I won't even say it's a corruption of the gospel, because it doesn't start with the gospel. It is an appropriation of certain scriptural elements into a false religion that leads to death. Let me declare myself as a Christian theologian. Let me ask you, though, before you get to Mormonism, Lawrence, would you ever vote for a candidate who's not a Christian?
I would have to go for the best person at that point, because a lot of times we do not have a Christian candidate going, so we have to go with morals and values.
Okay, now that's kind of what I thought you might say, but you have a limit. Are you saying that you would go with that up until a Mormon?
I would go with that before a Mormon. I would definitely not vote for a Mormon, not at all.
Lawrence, thanks for your clarity. Appreciate you calling. Let's go to Bruce. Go ahead, Bruce.
Yes, I am a Mormon. Sorry, Lawrence. Will evangelicals vote for him? I think they will, reluctantly, like Dr. Roberts said. Should they? Absolutely. On the values front, I think Romney lines up with evangelicals pretty much across the board. There may be some issues. But a third point you raised, Dr. Mohler, about should Mormons be concerned about one of their candidates running and having things exposed? I would only say this. The nail has been driven in our coffin so many times over the past centuries, and the church simply continues to thrive. The reason for that is, especially the evangelical community, they seriously misunderstand and underestimate what this church is and what it's all about. And for that reason, I think that we're not too concerned about Mitt Romney running, and that this election's not going to hinge on underwear.
Okay, Bruce, great sense of humor, and I appreciate you listening, and I appreciate you also calling. And I do think it's interesting, by the way, that that's the kind of question, and I agree with you, I don't think that the election is going to hinge on it, but it's the kind of question that the press, I think, is going to go after. And by the way, I think just in looking at other things here, even mentioning the Sam Harris book a little earlier, I think there are all kinds of questions that are going to be directed at candidates in the future that may never have been raised now. And I'll be honest, I think some Mormon candidates are going to get some interesting questions. We're going to see how that goes. Bruce, thanks for listening, and thanks for calling. To join the conversation, call 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Mike's listening on WTBN in Tampa, Florida. Go, Mike.
As a right-wing fundamentalist Christian zealot, I find myself having to vote for the lesser of two evils almost every election. And I think that if he was running against Hillary Clinton, then I would vote for him.
Mike, let me just interpret this for you. Someone who calls himself a zealot usually isn't. God bless you, because you didn't sound much like a zealot when you said you're going to have to make a pragmatic decision. And I respect the way you put that, and I appreciate your call. You identified yourself very clearly as a conservative Christian who holds to conservative political views. And yet, Mike, if I understood you, you said, hey, when it comes to the political context, I have to make a decision between the lesser of two evils. Did I get you right?
That is absolutely right.
All right, Mike, let me ask you the analysis question here. As you know, your fellow Christians there in your area of the country, do you think they will follow the same argument?
Yes, I do, because there's one thing to say you're Christian and another thing to walk in your Christian way. And the way I look at Mitt Romney, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, is though he may not be a Christian, if he was going up against Hillary Clinton, he would walk, his walk would be close to a Christian's. Whereas Hillary Clinton says she's a Christian, but absolutely walks in the opposite direction of Christians. And
all
I
right,
think that
Mike,
was going to be the fundamental deciding factor there.
Mike, subtleties in your argument that are very important, and I knew we would get here. The subtlety is this. Should you vote for a person who claims Christianity, but whose policy positions are at odds with Christian truth, and whose political philosophy is at odds with Christian discipleship? Or just because that person's a Christian, would you vote for them? Or would you have to vote for someone who is not a Christian by our own theological definition, but on the other hand would tend to uphold the law of God, which we believe to be one of the essential functions of government, according to Romans chapter 13. Let's remember that when the New Testament was written, you could count on this, Caesar wasn't a Christian. Of course, he wasn't elected either. But the big question is, what is government? How should it function? There's a lot to talk about here. 877-893-8255. Give us a call. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. Christians have struggled with this question for a long time. You know, how do we engage the political process in the day of electoral democracy, where voters have a choice? This has really been a very difficult issue, and it's not new. Now, it's newly framed with a Mormon presidential candidate, but it's not new as a question. And also, just in the relation between Christians and government, you know, how do you understand this? You have Lutherans who hold to a two-kingdom understanding, in which they're two completely separate spheres. You have other Christians who hold to a more unified understanding. They're going to look for a Christian candidate the same way they would be looking for a Christian in terms of being a spouse or anything else. And then you have others who, frankly, have no great and sophisticated political philosophy, or but are just kind of riding by their gut and instincts, election by election. Here's the question. Should an evangelical vote for a Mormon candidate, all other things being equal, should the Mormonism be a big issue? Phil Roberts.
Yes. Well, I think there are three big issues here that anybody who votes for a Mormon candidate has to consider. Number one is history. Number two is doctrine. Number three is ritual. And that those are the big concerns that evangelicals have always had with Mormonism. Mormonism is not just an alternative form of Christianity. It claims to be the only form of Christianity, the only true church. Doctrinally, it's aberrant, it's heretical, it's occultic virtually, as are their rituals. And so the issue there is the vast majority of evangelicals will not be comfortable with that. And the other thing is, in most circumstances, should not vote for a Mormon candidate. The question is, what do Christians in Utah do? Every election, they face this issue. So they have to make some kind of sense of priorities.
Well, I think that's a great point right there. I mean, if you are an evangelical Christian in Utah, you're going to be voting for a lot of Mormon candidates.
Every election. And
yeah.
Maybe all of them are Mormons on the ballot.
Right.
And so the issue there is you're going to have to vote values, so to speak, to use the old
So you're kind of sending me a little mixed message here, though, Phil. You're saying the answer is should not, except when you have to.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, at least I got you. All right. Russell Moore.
Well, I think evangelicals had this decision before them in 1980 when you had a Southern Baptist Sunday school teacher with a very clear testimony, and then you had a divorced Hollywood actor who didn't go to church very much, and they decided we'll go with the one who will support our values and support justice in the public square. I think the same kinds of decisions come down when it comes to this kind of issue. I don't think the new birth is a necessary qualification to be president of the United States. I think instead we have to say we're going to vote for the candidate who is going to exercise the sword rightly, and that means sometimes we're going to vote for candidates.
Well, I think mentioning Luther, I want to come back, and I knew you were going to get to the 80 presidential campaign because I do think that's where American evangelicals really got politically mobilized in a way they never had been before for the candidate that was less evangelical.
That's right.
Do you remember the anecdote about Adrian Rogers when he was asked the question, are you going to vote for Jimmy Carter and why not if you're not? And he's pointed out the airport where he was being interviewed, the airplane taken off. He said, you know, I'm glad Billy Graham is not behind the controls of that aircraft.
which was a saying that he's looking for a different form of competency here. Now, that gets back to Luther, and I got to nail this down. Luther's often, Martin Luther, great reformer, is often quoted as saying he'd rather be governed by a competent Turk than an incompetent Christian. Mm-hmm. And I just want to point out that I agree with Luther, but not as that quotation is often misconstrued. Mm-hmm. Luther is not there talking about competence like administrative leadership.
Right.
He's talking about competence at upholding the law of God. And Martin Luther was very clear. He said it would be better to have an unregenerate prince who would hold up the law of God than a regenerate prince who would not. And you're saying, Russ Moore, you agree with that?
I agree with that, although I do think that there are going to be some ramifications. If Mitt Romney is elected president of the United States, and if it's Mitt Romney and Hillary Clinton, I think most Christians are going to have an easy choice. But if he's elected president of the United States, that will mainstream Mormonism to a degree that we've not seen before, because the president is a
Mormon. As an evangelical Christian, we have to be very much concerned about that.
Yeah.
So let's just be honest about that. Yeah. And in the same way that a lot of evangelical Christians faced this question in 1960.
Sure.
With the election of a Roman Catholic president, which now is not an issue in terms of American electoral politics. Being a Catholic is not a liability. John Kerry did not lose the last election because he was Catholic. If anything, he lost it because he wasn't Catholic enough.
Right. And many evangelicals who are not voting for Mitt Romney will be voting for Sam Brownback, a Roman Catholic candidate.
That's right. Okay. Boy, we're on to something here that is really worth our discussion. We got callers lined up all the way from Georgia and Wisconsin to Tennessee. Let's go to Eau Claire, Wisconsin, where Rob's on the line. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah. My comment is this, in answer to your question. We're constantly faced in the political arena of having to look at candidates that aren't professing evangelical Christians. So the kinds of things I think that we look at is, number one, I think, as the guests have said, we look at values. But then secondly, and right behind that, I think we look at the character of the person. Is there integrity? Do they live out what they profess, they believe in? For that reason, I'd have to say I think most evangelical Christians will not vote for Hillary Rodham Clinton because there is an inconsistency and a lack of integrity. She seems to veil what she really believes, where I don't see that in Romney. And I think that goes a long way with the public to say, okay, is this a person who's trustworthy, or are they going to mislead people?
Okay, great question. I appreciate you making that. I'm going to get to as many callers as I can. I appreciate your clear thinking on this. Let's go to Chad calling from Union City, Tennessee. Go, Chad.
Hey, Mr. Moore took a lot of my point away from it. I just say I'll vote for a guy not based on a spiritual litmus test, but will he protect my own value? I want somebody, whether it could be an atheist or a Christian, as long as he's not a threat to what I believe and try not to put any dampering on my own personal beliefs.
Chad, again, appreciate that point. You know, you mentioned an atheist, and here, boy, you know, I just have to say my heart is so conflicted on this, just speaking very honestly, because, yes, I would prefer that an atheist uphold the law of God, but I have to wonder why he does it. And I have to wonder, in the secret recesses of his own decision-making, where in the world is that going to end up? Okay, very quickly, let's go to Sherry. Listen on XM 170, calling from Atlanta, Georgia. Sherry, would you vote for a Mormon candidate? If so, why? If not, why?
Oh, hello, Dr. Mueller. No, as a matter of fact, I don't think that I could. I think that God's Word teaches that to vote for someone that I know proclaims to be a Christian but holds beliefs that are definitely not of the Bible, that would have me voting for somebody that I could liken to even a Wiccan, for example. I mean, that may be a bit extreme, but I could never vote for a Wiccan no matter how much they profess to uphold the same values that I do. And Mrs. Clinton and I, we part company on many, many things. She's pro-abortion and I'm not, but she does profess to be a Christian. And because she does, God's Word is very plain about the fact that I am called to love her. Now, I may struggle
But does that mean to vote for her, Sherry, just so I'm clear?
No, sir, absolutely not.
Okay.
In this particular case, I would not be able to vote for either candidate. I would be very afraid, now it may sound like the zealot you thought you had a moment ago, but I would be very afraid of voting for the gentleman who is Mormon because the Bible teaches that there will be false prophets, many, many, many false prophets. And that is not a Christian religion.
Well, you know, I agree with you on that, Sherry, and I'm very thankful for your call. How I wish we could get to the dozens of other people who want to talk about this. We'll talk about this on some final thoughts in just a moment. This is the Albert Mueller Program. Folks, Folks, we have begun a conversation that we cannot end. This will continue in subsequent programs, and I'm going to ask Russ Moore and Phil Roberts to come back as we follow this during the 2008 presidential campaign. I want to give each a final word, and then I want to speak to this in closing. Russ Moore, what do you have to offer in terms of insight here?
Well, I think Mormonism is an important factor, but it shouldn't be the deciding factor when we're deciding for whom to vote. I think if we had the best of all worlds, then yeah, we have a born again Bible believing Christian in the White House, but we don't often have the best of all worlds here.
Yeah.
And so we have to choose between some bad choices often.
All right, Phil.
I would agree with Russell absolutely 100%. We need to pray for this situation. We need to pray for Mitt Romney. What a delight it'd be to see his eyes open and realize that the gospel he says he believes in, that he thinks is real Christianity, is not Christianity at all.
Now, that gets to my final analysis on this. If I ask myself, and I've kind of held my guns here till the end of the program, if I'm asked, will American evangelicals vote for a Mormon candidate, I say it's all context.
Mm-hmm.
It's all context. If in the 2000 race it comes down to the fact that American evangelicals believe that Mitt Romney is the candidate who can defeat a candidate they find much less palatable, then I think both at the primary level and eventually in the general election, they will vote for Mitt Romney. He is extremely competent, charismatic. I think the big issue for a lot of evangelicals is whether he will become clear enough on the issues, whether he will declare himself on abortion, stem cell research, euthanasia, same-sex marriage, and all the rest with just unambiguous clarity. I think there's reason to believe that he will. And I think he would not be making a serious run for the White House as a Republican candidate if he were not. But I have to ask myself that harder question, not the will question, but the should question. And that's where I have to come back and say that as American evangelicals, well, just as evangelical Christians, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to remember our allegiances, and our first allegiance is to Christ. We must do nothing that would in any way hinder the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must do nothing that would in any way confuse the gospel of Jesus Christ. That second issue is for me why voting for any Mormon candidate would be an excruciating decision. It's because I would not want to do anything that even indirectly would confuse persons about the gospel of Jesus Christ. At the same time, I have to remember the role of government, and that the function of government, according to Romans chapter 13, is to uphold the law of God. And so I have to pray for a government to be headed by and populated by and governed by and led by one who would, to the greatest degree that is humanly possible, uphold the law of God in justice and in righteousness, in mercy and in faithfulness, and who would also, secondly, embody as much as is possible what it means to be a leader that is under the authority of God. As a gospel issue for me, that means someone that does not confuse the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's my problem. That's why we're going to be tracking this issue, and that's why we as evangelical Christians had better be thinking this one through and thinking it through together. Talk about it at your church. Talk about it with your Christian friends. We'll be talking about it again. I'm Albert Moeller.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmoeller.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmoeller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Moeller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.